You have your Bibles just for a few moments today. And we want to thank you once again for your faithfulness. It means so much to us. I hesitated to tell this. I'm going to go ahead and tell it because we're just, you know, there's a lot of people looking for something. And this is kind of like human nature. We're just glad you chose to stand with us a while longer and see what the Lord is going to do. I hate to put a book down that brings me to a cliffhanger and then doesn't. You know, have you ever been right in the middle of a DVD and it's an adventure or it's a mystery and you get right to that point and you say, man, I have watched for an hour and 30 minutes here and it's almost coming. We're going to find out who done it, why they did it, and who's going to get them for doing it. I mean, we're right there at that point and then the thing freezes. you want to hear the rest of the story, read the rest of the book. You want to find out, and I want to see what the Lord has. I want to see what I want to follow through. I don't want to stop short, Brother Taylor. I'm that's the way I am. I know sometimes it seems like we're some kind of stalemate, and I feel it too. But we are truly not, because God is moving by His Spirit, Brother Terry. Hallelujah! And because He is, and it's His Spirit, I want to follow through long enough, John, to see what the Lord is going to do with you. Hallelujah. And see what He's going to do with me and see what He's going to do with Kiko. He brought him out of some bad places. Hallelujah. And He didn't bring us this far to abandon us and leave us now. I want to see what God's going to do as He restores Sean. Hallelujah. Just how complete that restoration. It's already in process. I want to see just how far He's going to take you. Hallelujah. I want to see, amen, just how God is going to use Brother Taylor in these last days. Praise God. Because when he comes up here to pray, I can hear Marlena singing. Remember Marlena? Remember? Oh, yeah. I ain't no ways tired. Hallelujah. I would come out tired. She'd sing that song. I'd say, I ain't no ways tired. Not now. Hallelujah. That inspired me. Praise God. Don't be weary in well-doing. We all get that way sometimes. If you have your Bibles, Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. We're talking about this scripture in Deuteronomy. We're talking about this scripture. And we're talking about who has a God like our God. We're not trying to just compete and compare. We just want to find out what we need to know about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. The God of the Bible. Hallelujah. And the things that mark Him, that mark His character, that things we need to know about Him that are more important than just His power and more important than just His omniscience, His all-knowing, more important than His omnipotence. That means His power, all-powerful, all-knowing, praise God, omnipresent, His simultaneous presence in the universe, in the world. He's a God that filleth all in all. I love what David said about His promise to never leave us and forsake us in the old covenant sense of His commitment, His covenant commitment to Israel. He said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Where can I go that you're not? Where in the world can I go that you're not? There's nowhere. If I take the wings of the morning and fly out over the sea, you're there. When I meet the horizon, God is already there. If I make my bed in hell, speaking of the grave, even there, death will not separate me from Him and His presence. Even there, you will uphold me with your hand. Praise God. All right, let's talk about this. Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God like unto thee? Now, it's amazing that this is set in the old covenant. There's a misconception that the God of the old covenant is an exacting disciplinarian. And when Jesus came, suddenly His nature changed and He became loving and merciful. No, the God of the old covenant was loving and merciful. Preacher that I really went to, my dad went to his church. He was a pastor here in Tampa for many years when I was diagnosed with leukemia. And they gave me a short time to live because by the time they quit treating me for anemia and started and discovered it was leukemia that was causing the anemia, then it was highly advanced. We had no insurance. We had no money to speak of, just living week to week. So they took me to God. My dad took me to church for prayer. You know the rest of the story. Here I am today, an evangelist that didn't know a lot about medicine and medical things, but he knew the Lord. When my mother took me forward for prayer, he laid hands on me. My mother went to tell him that I had leukemia. He just, before she could get the words out, he cursed cancer in the blood, in my bloodstream. To make a long story short, the next day I was up and running around, and I've been up and running around ever since. Praise God. Amen. To this day. And God did a miracle. The doctor, having a problem with miracles, of course, being a man of science and well-educated and not educated in God or in the Word, you know, the Bible said they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Well, some people have a problem with that. I understand the problem with that, but I'm a living, breathing example that God is God, and He is all-powerful, and He's all-knowing. He knows how to do all things. He's all-powerful. He has the ability to do these things, but the breakdown in faith is not that. We readily receive. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He knows how to help us. He knows how to deliver. He has the power to do it. But is He all-loving? And will He release that power and that knowledge in our behalf? That's what we want to concentrate on. We want to understand that. I'm so glad for that pastor in that church that God moved in such a wonderful, wonderful way, so that a prayer of faith was prayed over me, and I was gloriously healed. And the doctor, Dr. Paul Minthorn, that was on Hillsborough Avenue years and years ago when I was 8 going on 9, who diagnosed me, he retested me because the change was evident in me. He could not deny that I'm not jaundiced anymore, and I'm not anemic anymore. And they went looking for the cancer cells in my blood. They found none, and he pronounced me healed. But he pronounced me healed this way. The cancer went into spontaneous remission. Yeah, they don't know. That means we don't know where it went. We just know it's gone. We won't give God the credit, but we'll just say the cancer just got up and left, packed up and left. Well, the odd thing was, you know, is that it happened after, directly after being prayed for in the name of Jesus Christ. So we're just grateful so every day that I live and breathe, I'm a living testimony to the power of God and the presence of God. Now, I don't know what you're looking for in your Christian journey. Maybe you want to fill your head with knowledge. I want you to know your God. You can know the scriptures. You can know the Bible from front to back. I led a man to Christ that knew more. He could quote more scripture than I ever could. I don't have a photographic memory. I have a wife to help me remember things. You don't need a photographic memory. Honey, where did I leave that? Honey, what's his name? Honey, what did... So that's, you know, the Bible said a man is, not the Bible, someone said, Bible would never say this, but someone said, a man is incomplete until he gets married. And then he's finished. Yeah. And she's a little woman, but she will get a hold of him when they get home. Amen. Praise God. Listen carefully today. They that do know their God, the scripture said, they that do know their God, they shall be strong, and they will do exploits. They that do know their God. Years ago in Plant High School, I remember so vividly, because I'm not a graduate with a master's degree from some university. I used to tell people I have been to Knee College. There's a Search of God college where you can get your degree called Lee College in Cleveland, Tennessee. I am a graduate of Knee College. I had to pray to preach because I didn't know enough to do it without the Lord helping me. And I found out God really liked it that way, because maybe He could speak through me instead of just me preaching what I felt was appropriate, very eloquently and intelligently. They that do know their God, And I remember just when the schools were being, you know, segregated from any God talk or God presence, or you couldn't talk about God in schools, you couldn't read the Bible in school, you couldn't pray in school, and it had just been to kick in, and schools were very sensitive, and they are even worse today. But I remember when all that began, but there was a world, an elective course in Plant High School in Tampa. There was and it was great literature, great books that influenced the world. It was an elective course for seniors at that high school. So one of our young people was in the senior class, and they were in that class, and so they came upon the Bible. The Bible is one of those books that undeniably has had a profound and is having a profound influence. The most fought book in all of the world is the Bible. No book has ever been dissected, looked at, criticized, like the Bible has been. And so they were studying. They said, we need somebody to talk to us about these patriarchs, Moses and Abraham and these patriarchs that began the Judeo-Christian faith that involved Old and New Testament for the Christian. And so this young man stood up and said, "My pastor will come. He knows everything about the Bible." Well, I didn't know everything about the Bible. I knew the Lord, though. Amen. So he volunteered me. But you know what? The teacher was expecting a professor from some Bible college, you know, with a PhD, and all they had was me. And I don't mind telling you, when the anointing comes, I preach what God gives me. But you give me a subject and tell me I have to stay within that. And here I am with that evangelistic zeal. I want to see souls saved. I want to see people come to know Christ as their Savior. I just don't want to give a history lesson to somebody So I got down the night before and I said, "Well, you know, I know about some things about Moses, and I know some things about Abraham, and I just want to refresh myself, because I'm going into an academic setting tomorrow, not anointed place necessarily. You know, I didn't know how far the anointing would carry me in a situation where it's just a bunch of students and you're not allowed to deviate from what you're given as a subject." And I said, "Lord, I want to see these young people come to know you as truly as you are. I want to see young people come to know Christ as their Savior. I want people to know the glorious God that we serve, and not see him." And I got to put this in right now or I'll forget it. The preacher where I was healed, when he fell away from the Lord, he got discouraged. He went through some hard times and he fell away. And because he fell away from the Lord, he felt like God didn't love him anymore. God couldn't love him, because he had failed to serve him in that way that he knew God required of him. And he felt like he was that piece of clay that God was going to throw away instead of just take out the hard part and continue to work in. He felt like God couldn't use me, God couldn't love me. And he said, "I just gave up on preaching. I felt like God had given up on me, so I more or less was giving up on God. I didn't want to be lost. I didn't want to not have Christ as my Savior, but I felt worthless and useless." And he said, "I was sitting in my chair and I was remembering my first concept." God brought it to his memory. His first concept of God was when he opened a family Bible, he said, when I was 6 or 7 years old. And I opened it to Genesis, and there was an artist's conception of an angry God driving Adam and Eve out of the garden because they had sinned. And that was his first foundational concept of God. And it stuck. It's amazing how things will stick. That's why you mentioned it. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. If you're going to know the Lord, you can't. When we say our Heavenly Father, if you didn't have a wonderful Father in all respects, then you can't relate that to the God of glory. But if you begin to understand him and know him, you know. So he said, "I'm sitting in my chair," and that was burned into me. That God that I had failed, who is angry at me, I felt useless and hopeless. And he said, "The Lord spoke to my heart, I love you. simply, I love you. 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 It's amazing that something that simple could revolutionize and change this broken preacher's life. I love you. It's exactly what Jesus was saying to Peter when he cooked fish for him on the bank. Without saying the words, through his actions and attitude, he was telling Peter, who had failed him, went out and wept bitterly, felt useless, hopeless, I love you. And when Peter began to sense that love, then he asked Peter, do you love me? And suddenly, Peter, being loved unconditionally like that, began to love Jesus back for loving him like that. Isn't it amazing how that works? Peter wanted to impress the Lord with his faithfulness. But when the pressure was on, he broke under the pressure and he failed. But God's love for him didn't break down. Amen? There's a difference in our love and His love. His is divine. There's a word for it, agape. Say it with me this morning, agape. It's a Greek word that, from my understanding, was never used until the era of the gospel in the first century church. They had to come up with a word. Words are brought into our vernacular, into our language, to describe things. And until there's a need for that word, they don't come in. I mean, there's words in computer language right now that 25 years ago we never heard. But now they're common. Amen? LOL. Lots of laughs. Never heard that. They have to even update the dictionary because words... You know, they used to say, ain't in the dictionary. It is now, because people like me just wouldn't quit using it. So they said we might as well to go ahead and put it in the dictionary. Amen? Listen very carefully. So anyway, I got to the classroom, and I made a few notes, jotted down a few places I wanted to turn to and read something about Abraham and say something historically about Moses and these men and women who God used to in such a mighty way. So I stood up and I had prayed. I said, Lord, I said, Holy Spirit, I want you to come today. I'm not in some kind of anointed place where there are people sponging in it. I'm going to be in here with some seniors in high school where I'm not allowed to deviate from this history lesson or this discourse. And I'm not good at that. I like to be led of the Spirit of God. I like to feel the Holy Ghost in me coming up and flowing out of me. That's my comfort zone. You take me out of that. In other words, you take the Holy Spirit away from me, I'm not a good speaker. Praise God. But let the Holy Ghost come. He makes a difference. Praise God. Listen, so I'm praying in tongues to myself as we go into that scholastic setting, and I remember standing there with my Bible, and I looked very scholarly. Hallelujah. I knew I looked like I knew more than I knew. I said, Lord, if somebody asks a question, please don't let them ask me something that will reveal, you know, my lack of knowledge. Now, there's a difference in knowing the Scriptures and history and all of that and knowing God. There's a difference. There's a difference. One thing I did know, I knew what Paul knew. I know whom I have believed. And because of what I know about him, I am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. That means there's a day coming when he's going to judge the quick and the dead, and I'm not afraid of that day. Not because I'm so good or so perfect, but because his salvation and grace is so perfect that I have received. Can you say amen? When he said it's finished, it was finished. And it's not just the supplying the blood that was necessary. It's when we, by faith, apply that blood by receiving Jesus as our Savior. I know whom I have believed. And that knowledge has brought a persuasion in my heart that I am not afraid to stand before the throne of God, because I know it is not my perfection or lack of it that will have any weight. It will be the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm so glad. Glad to be a Christian today. Just, I wanted to share Jesus with people. I didn't want to come on like a professor. I wanted to come on and proclaim Christ. But I was restricted. So, teacher had his glasses out on the end of his nose, and he looked very scholarly. World literature teacher. He sat at his desk. I stood beside the desk. And he said, "We have with us today Pastor Robert Venerable." And it's actually Venable, but Venerable isn't a bad mispronunciation because it means honorable. This isn't First Sunday, is it? We are. Is it ready? It's ready. We're going to have communion in just a few moments. This will lead us to communion. One thing we want to receive, this is going to work right into communion. Couldn't have asked for a better working in. God knew what I didn't know. My wife isn't with me. Hallelujah. So when my wife isn't with me, somebody has to give me notes and help me. Praise God. Listen carefully. And I said, "Lord, help me to say something about you today that'll help these young men and women that are in this intellectual, academic setting, in this now where school is a God-free zone, and yet here I am, standing here today before about 35 seniors at Plant High School. Help me, Lord, to say something. Jesus, I want to say something about you. Oh, Lord, I want them to know the God that I serve. I want them to know how good you are, how wonderful you are. Amen. Because they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. And they that come to know him through Jesus Christ. It's a powerful thing." And anyway, he introduced me as Robert Venerable or whatever. My science teacher used to call me Robert Venalysis. How he got Venalysis out of V-E-N-A-B-L-E, I have no earthly idea. Amen. But I'm 5 minutes in to talking about Abraham, talking about Moses, mentioning Samson, and mentioning all of these great patriarchs of the faith. And suddenly one of the seniors' hand goes up. And I know a question is coming. So I defer to the teacher, who I must stay on subject, and I ask him, I said, "Young man back here has a question. May I answer that question?" I'll never forget, he never looked up from his desk. His glasses were like this. He never looked up. He said, "Go ahead." I had to go ahead to answer the question. I almost wish that he had said, "No, just give us your discourse. This is not a question and answer." See, that way I wouldn't be put on the spot. But God knew what he was doing. This is early in our ministry. The Holy Spirit, he's so precious. He's so powerful. I tell you, I'd rather have him speak through me than have all the knowledge that some people have today and not know God and be able to talk about somebody that I know personally, not just theologically. Can you say amen? This is not just correct theology. Amen. This is the truth about Jesus, the truth about God. Hallelujah. So he asked the question. Well, no. Just before he asked the question, I said, "There's one thing that is absolutely common to all of these people." I said, "You would have never heard of Samson. You would have never heard." I said, these people were not great people in and of themselves. But they did things, and God blessed them in a particular way that when we talk about David, people click with that today. When we talk about Samson, people click with that today. We talk about Moses. Something clicks after all of this time has passed. When you mention David and the giant, and you mention Samson, and you mention Moses, and you mention Abraham, something clicks. And I said, the common thing about all of them, some of them were shepherds and herdsmen, but there's one thing that caused them to have the influence that they had. They knew God. Every one of them knew God. They knew God. Amen? They knew God. Some of you here need to really get to know Him. That was the heart of the Apostle Paul. With all of his Pentecostal credentials, amen, you'd think he didn't need to know anything else. Amen? What a ministry that he had. What anointing came through him. What gifts, what revelations he had received. But he was seeking a revelation beyond all of those other things and gifts. He said, oh, that I might, what? Know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might also know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. I want to know him. And God put that hunger in the heart of the disciples to know him. Not just about him, but to know him. And they had seen Jesus talk about the Father, pray to the Father. And they said, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And Jesus said, have you been with me this long, and you don't know the Father? You haven't seen the Father? Listen, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, if God, who is a spirit, this invisible God that can be so easily misunderstood and misinterpreted, he said, if God became a man, I would be the man that God would be like. So you can understand the personality and the character of God when you see me, because the words that I speak are not my words, but what I hear my Father say. And the works that I do are not my works, but what I see my Father do. So everything I say and everything I do is showing you the very character and person of this mighty, holy being, so that you might know him and not just know about him. Can you say amen? Know him intimately and know him personally. Hallelujah. Oh, that I might know more scripture so I can show you how smart I am. No, that I might know through the scripture my God and how wonderful he is. There was a song back in the 50s. Some of you don't know that era. Amen. Me and old school here, we go way back. We know this song. To know him is to love, love, love. Here's another old school. And I do, and I do, and I do. The more I know about him, the more I love him. Not just for what he has done, but because of who he is. David had this same quest, this same desire in his heart. He said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. That's what's motivating me. Amen. One thing, single-minded, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may inquire at his temple and behold his beauty. Can you say amen? I want to get close enough to God to get to know him. Moses, the same thing. God is speaking to him. He said, I'm not going to speak to Moses like I do the other prophets. All the rest of them, I'll speak to them by visions and dreams. But not so my servant Moses. Him will I speak to mouth to mouth. Can you imagine? The Bible said there was a place called the meeting place as he led Israel. And a pillar of fire that they saw by night. That pillar would lead them by night, but that pillar would go over and hover at the meeting place. And Moses would go over to that tent. And Moses and God would have a verbal, vocal, mouth-to-mouth conversation. And it didn't satisfy Moses. He wanted to know him more intimately, more deeply than even mouth-to-mouth. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, I want to see you. I hear you. I feel you. I sense you. But I want to see you. And God told him, said, Moses, under that covenant in particular, amen, if I showed you myself in my true glory, it would, you know, anybody see Indiana Jones, first movie? They pull the, come on, these guys going to take the Ark of the Covenant, take it in their battles and see if it'll give them the victory it gave Israel. I mean, it's a pretty good concept. It wasn't a bad idea about the ark. You didn't mess with the presence of God. Couldn't go behind the veil. The veil was a reminder. I'm holy and you're not. You can't come back here. Priest can come once a year to offer a sin offering, but before he can offer a sin offering for the people, he's going to have to offer a sin offering for himself. He's going to have to go through ceremonial washings. And if he doesn't meet the qualifications that I have set, he'll drop dead before he can sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. So put a rope around him before you send him in. Put bells on the bottom of his priestly garments so you can hear that he's ministering. Because if you don't hear those bells jingling and you feel a dead weight on the end of that rope, then haul him out and get another one ready to go in, because judgment's going to fall on Israel and that's a sacrifice offering in their behalf. It's a holy thing. So show, I want to see you. And God said, I can't do that. Here's what I can do. He found a rock. He took Moses and put him, pressed him into the cleft of a rock and caused his presence to pass by him quickly. And he said, what you're going to see is all that I can show you in your mortal flesh. You will just see my hinder parts as I go by. In other words, you couldn't stand and see my headlights. But I'll let you glimpse my taillights as I go by. This is this holy God. How can we know this God? But even then, there was in the heart of man to know his Creator and his Redeemer. And there was in the heart of God to reveal himself to man. But in the new covenant, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory. Hallelujah. We saw what we couldn't see. We understood what we couldn't comprehend. We're not serving this force in the universe. We're serving a person with a character, a nature, a personality that created us, in fact, in His image. Gave us a free will. Oh, that I might know Him. Oh, that I might know Him. You stop short of that quest when you're satisfied just with biblical knowledge. So I said, these people knew God. And it's that knowledge of God, that's what caused them to be able to have the faith they had and have the walk with Him they had. And that's why we know their names today. And then the young man in the back put up his hand. I said, may I answer this question? And he asked the very question that opened the door to share Christ. Holy Spirit is so wonderful. He said, how may we know God? It wasn't you, was it? Were you? How old are you? No, you're far too young. Amen. But a guy asked the question. And of course, the teacher's still out of it. He really doesn't care. He wants to get through it. Mike knows what that's about. Just let me get to the end of the day. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And I looked at him and I said, I'm going to have to deviate from the subject for a moment to answer this question. Is that okay? That was my go ahead. I said, I'm going to have to leave the old covenant and the patriarchs, and because someone asked, how may we know God? And I said, the answer to that has to be given from the new covenant that God has given us, the New Testament. And for the last 40 minutes of that 55-minute class, I was able to share the salvation plan and Jesus Christ with that graduating class of seniors at Plant High School. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't know. See, a seed was sown in hearts that couldn't have been sown. I couldn't have went in there and passed out Bibles, passed out tracts. Certainly couldn't have preached. But God got me in there to talk about patriarchs and opened the door for me to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. To change a history lesson from an opportunity to share the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something. When you start talking about Jesus, then you're not just depending on your knowledge or intellect. Amen. Out of your belly Hallelujah. Holy Spirit starts helping you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, or as I usually say it, livers of living water. Can you say amen? I usually mess that up, but I'm trying to do better. I talk fast because I think fast because God is flowing fast within me in times like that. If you've never had it happen, when you start sharing Jesus with somebody, you will say things that you know you're not smart enough to come up with. God will flow through you. Praise God. And He flows in that area. He cares about the lost. He cares about people knowing Him. He doesn't want a misconception about who He is and why He sent His Son and what His Son has done to show His love for fallen man. Praise God. Who has a God like our God? Immediately people think of power. Oh, by the way, at the end, that whole senior class came and shook my hand, thanked me for coming, and some of them, I could see that those welled up tears in their eyes, and I knew that, and I told them, I said, get in the Word of God, get in your Bible, get in, start with the book of John, amen, and see what God has done through Christ, and how you can come to know Him through receiving Christ as your Savior. God becomes your Heavenly Father, and you become part of His royal family. It was a glorious day. But then a young black lady came up. She looked very sophisticated and scholarly, but she was grinning from ear to ear. She came up, John, she looked me over. She came up, she's the last person in the line. She said, when you started speaking, I started praying for you. She even kind of talked like John. Amen. Hallelujah. When you started praying, I started praying for you. And then she stopped. She looked me up and down again. She said, you're spirit filled, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And I said, I want to thank you for praying for me. Didn't God do something in this class today? She said, He sure did. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Listen, the Lord is in you, the Lord is in me, and they that do know their God, they that do know their, not just know about Him, but they who know their God, they shall be what? Weak oh man, listen, He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. You need to know about Him and His greatness and His graciousness. Misconception is that grace only appeared in the new covenant, that there's two gods. There's the disciplinary, hateful God of the old covenant, and then there's this compassionate, loving God of the new. No, there's one God. And one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. And the same Jesus that showed such grace and mercy kicked over the money tables in the temple, braided a whip into a rope, he was going to whoop a bunch of jaybirds if they didn't get out of there and quit turning a house of prayer, amen, into what they were turning it into. And I personally wouldn't be want to be in some preacher's shoes today, because judgment begins at the house of God, and it doesn't start with out there. It starts in here. And I want you to know, amen, how good He is, how gracious. I want to read this, because many people, when they say, who has a God like our God, immediately think of power instead of a person. God wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him. Who has a God like unto thee? See if there's not grace here in the old. Not as we have it because Christ hadn't been to the cross, but did this God want to forgive sin? Does that God want to restore? Does that God want to help His people when they come back to Him? Who's a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? That passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. Now you're going to meet people that are not like Him. They'll tell you right quick you're going to hell and they're glad of it. But that's not like Him. He delights in mercy. That's what sustained Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations chapter 3. This man preached. Most people are preaching to build a building, to show their a success symbol to their preaching. And we would love to have a building with 10,000 people in it. I would be thrilled to come out. I wouldn't be intimidated by 10,000 people. In fact, I have preached in Haiti to 10,000 people at a point in my life. And 10,000 people are easier to preach to than this intimate setting. Because I'm going to tell you something about being on a big old platform and 10,000 people in the audience. All their faces are just blurred. You can't distinguish any individual. But in here, oh my, my, this is a whole different thing. Amen. I see everybody's face in here. Amen. We're up close and personal in here. This is an intimate setting. I would love that. That would be wonderful. God opens that kind of door, that's fine with me. But I'm going to tell you something. Right in this room, there are people that know your Bible, but you don't know your God. And sometimes what you think is being jealous for Him and standing up for Him is not representing Him. Because it's not just speaking the truth, it's speaking the truth in love. And that doesn't mean watering it down or compromising it. It means telling it like it is, but it's because you love the people and their soul. There are people who will not come back here because I'm too blunt. Someone said, Brother Venable, you're rocking the boat. It would be better that the preacher rocked the boat than the devil wrecked the boat. Can you say amen? So I don't want to see that wreck in your life. Amen? If there's something that's going to wreck your boat, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to preach about it. If there's a snake under your chair, I'm going to go after the snake. Amen? Before he bites your ankle. They that do know their God. They that do know their God. Remember that song? Jesus. Just the mention of His name. That's all it took for you at one time in your life. Before you became so scholarly. Before you became so astute. Before you became such a defender of truth. If you can't show anybody God, you're not defending the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And without His nature, you can speak in the tongue of men and angels and have all knowledge in those other areas. But what does it profit you? And how can it profit God? And whose life does your life intersect with and touch? Because of what you know. But if you run up on somebody that knows God, it's not what you know, it's who you know that begins to touch their life. Can you say amen? And you can share Him with somebody else. Hallelujah. We had guys on my job that knew the Bible better than me. Deacons in churches. Studied the Bible. Took courses. They could quote scripture. I could tell you what the scripture said, but I couldn't give you chapter and verse every time. They could tell you where it was, chapter and verse, and blah, blah, blah. Then they'd run up to people, and they'd just tell them all they knew. But they couldn't tell them who they knew. And there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. Little woman came to the well. I got to hurry and close, but some of you are convicted, and you ought to be. You ought to be. You've been in church too long not to know your God better than that. Can you say, man, you can't represent Him through your theology alone, though it be correct? Praise God. Amen. He wants to send somebody out of here that can share Him with somebody else. Hallelujah. That can tell somebody else about Him, not just in theological terms, but through a personal experience of what He's done in your life. It's called your testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. Be ready. Instant in season, out of season. They're not going to ask you if they think you're going to give them some great theological termed answer. But if they see something in you that is real and authentic, amen, be ready. You better be ready. You won't have to look for somebody to share Christ with. They'll come to you. I don't know how many times when I was bivocational that I would call my wife because I knew she would be worried, think something happened to me, or I'm working over. I would call her from the parking lot because someone followed me to the parking lot to ask me something about God because they believed that I knew not just something about Him, but I knew Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Be instant in season, out of season. Be ready to give an answer to all men for the hope that is within you. Be ready. Why? Because they're going to come. They're going to seek you out. God is going to set up divine appointments like He did at Plant High School to share Jesus, if that's what you have in your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Kathy Young used to be our song leader years ago, and she put something on Facebook. I always grab anything positive because people think that I don't need encouragement, but I really do. It would be nice to hear, if God's helping you at all, it would be nice to hear about it sometime. I always like to hear that God is helping somebody. Oh, if you've outgrew this church and you've outgrew this ministry, amen, then you ought to be doing more for Jesus than you're doing. If you don't know the Lord yet and you're not seeking to know Him and to represent Him with love and compassion, and no one's going to be drawn to you. No one will want to come and talk to you. Because all you can give them is correct theology. Woman at the well didn't know about theology. She didn't even know where to worship, but she had that heart to worship. She came to Jacob's well to draw water, the religious system in place. She was Syrophoenician. She wasn't Jewish. They would not only wouldn't ask her to serve them, they wouldn't even talk to her. She had a bad reputation. She had a messed up life. And Jesus came to Jacob's well. And He was wearied. That meant when He took on flesh, He felt what we feel. Jesus, God incarnate. But in one of these things, He was tired and weary. And He said, I'm going to rest in the shade. It's John's Gospel, chapter 4 of Jacob's well. He sent the disciples into the town to buy something to eat. You know, when you're in the hot sun and you're thirsty and you haven't eaten, sugar level drops. He had a body like ours. Amen. And He's weary. Go buy something to eat. Going into the town. I'm too tired. I can't take another step. I'm going to sit right here in the shade of this well. And a woman approaches the well. She's a Syrophoenician woman. She's not Jewish. And He looks at her, and He looks right into her heart. He knows her entire life. He's thirsty. He says, woman, give me to drink. Draw me some water while you're drawing. And she was shocked that he, being a Jew, and obviously looked like a rabbi, his attire, a teacher, religious man, that he would even speak to her, let alone ask her to do something for him. She was drawing the water. He's looking at her, knows everything about her like God knows everything about you and me. He said, if you draw water from this well, you're going to thirst again. You're going to come back again and again and again. But if you, here's that knowledge. Are you ready for this? Come on, Sponge John. Amen. Are you ready? I wish there were some more sponges in here. You know, you might not be bored, and you might not be plateaued out, and you might not be just sitting there stagnating if you had a sponge heart. Praise God. I believe there's something for everybody in this room. I don't believe there's nobody so far along that you can't learn something if you come with the right spirit and the right attitude. If you're not a know-it-all, then God will show you something. But if you're a know-it-all, there's nothing He can bother showing you because you think you know it all. You don't know it all until you know Him. Hallelujah. And you'll never quit getting knowledge if you want to be more like Him. Nobody likes to know it all. You ever met one? Nobody likes to know it all. They're like somebody that says, you know, there's some things I just don't get. Well, good. Then that gives me hope. I don't know it all, but I know Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you knew who it was that said, give me to drink, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. And then he knew what she was searching for. This big God-shaped vacuum within her was leading her to, through sin, try to satisfy. He said, you have had 5 husbands. And you've given up on marriage or commitment altogether in relationships. You're soured on any lasting relationship. You're living with a man now, but he's not your husband. The wonderful thing he gave her at that very moment was an understanding. Not just that she was a sinner like the rest of us, but why she was sinning. You sent me an email and encouraged me. Amen. When you said, boy, last Sunday when you said they don't know what they're looking for. The world don't know what they're looking for. They don't know. We know. They don't know. We can't just give them correct theology. We have to show them Jesus at some point. We're living epistles. Living our life. Written and read of all men. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, if you know the Lord, I'm in a locker room. I'm glad I worked out in that other world for a long time and saw what we all have to face out in that world in terms of testing and temptation. And I remember whistling a happy song on a Monday morning when everybody's coming to work hungover. Nobody's happy on Monday, no matter how hard they partied on Sunday night or Saturday night. They're just not happy. They're hungover. Some of them are guilt-ridden. Some of them are afraid their wives are going to find out they really wasn't out night fishing. They were fishing, but it wasn't for fish. Amen. So they all come in with a chip and messed up. And I came in after a glorious Sunday service. My heart, my conscience sprinkled from evil. Hallelujah. And I came in on a Monday whistling. And I don't even believe it was "Just As I Am" or "Amazing Grace." It was just a happy whistle. Had no reason or rhyme except to say, I've got joy and peace within. And I wasn't trying to witness. I was trying to get dressed, put on my uniform. Get ready for that grueling night. But I had the joy of Jesus. I was 50 years old when I went by vocation. They put me at the end of a conveyor belt. And they kept telling me, pace yourself. Pace yourself. I thought, you don't pace yourself. That stuff is coming down that belt. And it has to be hand stacked. And it weighs 60 pounds a bundle. And I got to stack it. The conveyor ain't going to slow down because I'm 50 years old. That thing going to keep running. So I said, Lord, help me to stack this. But I came in happy because you know what? He helped me stack it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I prayed in other tongues when I went to work. Holy Spirit, I said, I got to have you. I can't do this and I got to do it. Praise God. And it needs to be done and God will help me do it. I didn't go in to say, I'm going to witness today. I'm going to witness. People do that, and I got to hurry and close. Their time is almost gone, which means nothing, but it means something because we got to stop at some time. Hallelujah. Amen. But I remember a man on the other side of the lockers said, who is that so happy on Monday? Almost like it made him mad. Who is that so happy on Monday? I didn't say a word. Immediately, another man on the other side of the lockers answered. He said, that's got to be the Rev over there. He's got that deep, settled peace within. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't go anymore. Don't judge me by what you see. This was back in the day. I used to go to the Power Shop gym in Plant City, Florida. Some big guys used to go in there and work out. They used to have a picture of me on the wall with the power team. Those guys that blew up hot water bottles till they burst. I should have never stood by them. Compared to the old lady, that elderly lady, senior lady that run the gym. I looked pretty good standing beside her. But you put me beside these guys, I didn't look so hot. But I remember what she told me. This is what God wants to do in our life. No one knew I was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. for the first several months that I went to that gym. Nobody knew I was a preacher because I came in my sweatpants and my sweatshirt, and I wrapped myself up and worked out. Nobody knew I was a preacher in that gym. And the owner of the gym told my wife, she said, "Nobody in this gym knows that your husband is a man of the cloth. Nobody in this gym knows that your husband is a pastor of a church. They just think that he's a good Christian man." Wow. That's what I'd rather be known as. Because that's what makes the ministry effective. It's not just being an accurate preacher or teacher. It's being a follower of Jesus Christ. And known as somebody with His peace indwelling me. And His hope in my heart. Can you say amen? And it opens up doors of opportunity to share Jesus with other people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a guy back here, I call him my homie. He's part of my posse. In fact, he is the posse in and of himself. Praise God. I appreciate this young man sitting right back here. Amen. And I do not ever want him to think that following Jesus is anything less than the greatest life in all of the world. He's lived long enough to have relationships break down and have his heart broken, but he sees a marriage that has outlasted the pressure. Amen. There's been pressures on you folks, but here you are today. The devil has tried, but somebody prayed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why are you standing? Prince Charming did not wake up Sleeping Beauty and go off to the castle and what? Live happily ever after. No, there's all kinds of problems and pressures, but there's a faithful God. Hallelujah. That is this God that we're talking about. Hallelujah. I like the NIV. It says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I went down to Channel 13, sweat bullets again. Because when the cameras go on, you know, you put you under a different pressure. We had a free opportunity to share our church service, and they were filming it, and said, "Well, since you're here," didn't give me a chance to prepare, "since you're here, why don't you stay after the church congregation leaves that sang and played, and you brought your little sermonette. While you're here, I want you to make 5 morning devotionals." Okay, that's fine. We'll start in 15 minutes. Wait just a minute. I'm not prepared. I haven't had a chance to study, to make an outline. Besides, well, was it 15 minutes, 10 minutes? I don't know. They were probably shorter than that. They had a bet going. I made bullets, not the kind you shoot. That's radio lingo for these, you know, a short devotional that at the end, if you want to know more about this, tune in to Let's Talk About Jesus every Tuesday at 1 p.m. I had to make bullets for the radio station that they wanted to put on, and it had to be within 4 minutes. So immediately, Doug, who knew about it, and his wife, who knew about it, they said, "He can't do it. He can't do it. There's no way he can make a 4-minute anything." So I couldn't just be myself. I had to discipline myself, right? I had to really pray. It was harder to make a 4-minute bullet than to preach this sermon because I could just go with the flow. I haven't looked at the clock yet. Well, I glanced at it, but I thought, well, I'm already over time. There's no point in trying to hurry now. Can you say, man, if 12 o'clock is time, we're in overtime. But the Lord is so precious. He's so precious. Let me finish with the woman at the well. She recognized, because he told her about her life, and she recognized he wasn't just talking about that water in that well, but something of the Spirit that he was going to offer her. And she said, "Sir, give me then." See how she welcomed the gospel and the mercy and the grace that he was offering. How she welcomed his forgiveness and his understanding. And she said, give me then this water. Give me then this water that I thirst no more. And there's a little pause. We don't know exactly what transpired. But we know that when she met the Master, everything changed. And the least qualified, she wasn't part of the Sanhedrin. She couldn't give a theological explanation for what had occurred. But she knew what had happened in her life, and she knew who she met. And she went back into her community, and here was her message. Come and see a man. Is not this the Christ? He knew me like nobody knew me and loved me like nobody loved me. And gave me something nobody else could give me but him. Come and see this man. And she was so convincing because of not what she knew about him, but because she had met him. Amen. And they listened to her. Yes. And they came to hear him for themselves. Yes. And when they came back from hearing him, they said, we believed initially because you were so convincing. Your saying was with such conviction. We believe because of your saying. But now we've heard him for ourselves. And we know this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know him today? Do you know this God who never changes? There are not two gods. There's not a disciplinarian in the Old Testament and a merciful God in the New Testament. There is the perfect blending of his justice and his love in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This God of justice still punishes sin. He's too holy to not deal with it. But this God of love simultaneously loves the sinner and doesn't want you to receive the punishment. How can I be holy and forgive? How can justice be served, which I'm obligated to punish sin? How can I be just and a justifier, pronouncing not guilty those that have trusted Christ? How can I be both? A God of justice and a God of mercy. How can I save man from himself and his sin? I'll send my son to go to the cross, and I'll punish him in their behalf, that justice has been served. And when they come and receive my son as their Savior and repent of their sin, I can forgive them. I can be just and a justifier of those who trust Jesus Christ. That's the God that we're serving. A God that loved us that much. Can you say amen? And if it doesn't melt your heart, it's because your heart has become hardened to that truth and that fact. We're ready to receive Holy Communion this morning. Would you please come and serve us? Hallelujah. Is not this a time for our hearts to melt and for us to come closer? When he began to reveal himself after the resurrection, they didn't even realize it was him until he began to break bread with them. And when he broke bread with those two men who were so downtrodden, downcast, the Bible said he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And we're breaking bread this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Do you know him enough that you could share him experientially with other people and they would feel him in your life? They would see him, sense him, and want to know him. Praise God that you could share Christ with them. Hallelujah. How many people in this room would agree with me as we prepare to receive Holy Communion today, designed to point us to the cross, that there's more of your life and more of my life that we can surrender to Him, that we can desire to be more like Him, more like Him, more like Him. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead and let that play. I just want us to be prepared.